So I'll get into this message. I've entitled it Rejoice, and I want to talk to you about joy this morning, because C.S. Lewis said this, that joy is the serious business of heaven. And if you can get this understanding of the joy of the Lord being your strength, you will live a markedly different life, okay? And so before I do that, I got to tell you guys what I did last week. So my wife and I were suffering in Paris for the week. It was her birthday, so I surprised her with that. And if for anyone in here thinking, Pastor, going to Paris, huh? Living a little large. No. If I had to do it on my Every Nation New Jersey salary, we could walk to Paris, Ohio, and we could treat ourselves to a happy meal, okay? So that's not it, but 14 years of NHL hockey kind of helped that. So I surprised my wife. So she's turning 48. Did I let you know that she's much older than me? Okay, just so you know that. She's 3 months older than me. So I was going to take her, and I screwed up because I made all my money young in life, so I set the bar too high too soon, okay? Are you feeling me on that? And so I was like, oh, what am I going to do for her birthday? And so I said, maybe I'll surprise her with a trip. And so I'm asking around, and guys did the Paris thing, and you can get to Paris pretty cheap now. And so as cheap as it is to get to California. So I'm like, let's do this. And so I literally debated for an hour before I hit send on the orbit thing. I'm like, oh, should I do this? Not. So I do it. And then I did this 2 months in advance. So I'm kind of like, oh, I want to tell her so bad, right? It's just driving me crazy. And I almost, the surprise almost got messed up by Amex, because the moment I sent my Amex number into orbit, it immediately prompted my wife, who is in California on business, and it says, hey, you just purchased like a week's hotel at the Eiffel Tower Pullman Hotel. And she called me. She's like, honey, what do you think about this, and what's going on? And I'm like, we got hacked, honey. We got hacked. And so I feel like I lied righteously, okay, in that kind of, the grace of God would cover that. And so I got away with it, and so she was surprised. I let her know a week before, because other brothers informed me, they're like, you don't want to tell a woman the day before she's going overseas that, hey, you know, because you got to get the outfits and all that stuff. So I appreciate the wisdom I received. And then, but building up to this trip that I had in my mind is just going to be the spectacular thing. We're doing some heavy-duty remodeling in our home. So much so that we've been sleeping the last week in my daughter's room with my daughter. In order to perform Nick and Brandy's wedding, my suits were trapped in a part of the house that I could not get to. And so if you could have seen, I went Mission Impossible to get my black suit out of the closet and did that thing. And so our life has been less than therapeutic, all right? It's controlled chaos. And so my wife is getting stressed out because we're going to leave. And then all this stuff is going on that my daughter has to deal with. As the dad, I really could care less. I was like, let our 25-year-old daughter deal with it, but not my wife. So she's stressing and doing all this stuff. And so I don't know how to explain it, but we Ubered to JFK. For the record, you guys realize, like, to get from New Jersey to JFK, it would be quicker to walk to Paris, okay? I mean, that's just how long it takes to get there. And so my wife is this big ball of stress as we're going to go on this dream trip. And so we're in the Uber car, not fighting, but we're also not talking, okay? And so we're both on our devices, kind of doing that thing. And in my head, I'm going, oh, this is exactly what I envisioned when I dropped all that cash on this trip. And so this is going on. We actually get to JFK through, and she's like Debbie Downer through the whole thing. This is being recorded, so I'll probably get in trouble. She's probably periscoping right now. But everything stinks about the, oh, I can look at the line here and all. I'm like, what is going on here, you know? So we get to the terminal, and I just decided, you know what, it's better if I go charge my devices on the other side of the airport, and she could stay there. Is this too much reality for you guys? So this is what we're doing. Until I saw there was a Shake Shack in the JFK terminal. So, promised land. Nothing like a greasy burger and fries to help heal the soul. And so we went over to Shake Shack, we split a burger, and all of a sudden this thing starts getting going. We get on the flight, next thing you know, we wake up in Paris, snuggling next to each other. Life was good. And so I share that story to say this, something as stupid as the hardwood floors not being refinished in time was about to rob my wife of joy in a once-in-a-lifetime trip, okay? And so we have to be careful about this thing. Like stress, anxiety, the fear, these things aren't our friends. But honestly, anxiety and stress, it's a cancer to your soul. And it'll spread all the way throughout unless you learn how to remove these things. There's a woman, Corrie Ten Boom, and she, if you know it, she wrote the story, The Hiding Place. And it was during World War II when her family would hide Jews in Nazi Germany. And so you want to talk about someone that was dealing with stress at a young age. That's her. But she would say this. She says that worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only drains today of its strength. And so I found that to be so true in my own life. And so the trip, once we landed in Paris, was amazing. And so, I don't know, Ariel, do we have a picture? This is of the Eiffel Tower. So this is outside of our hotel. And then do we have the nighttime one? I don't know if we put that one. No, we don't have that one. There it is. Come on. I mean, that is like stunning and spectacular, right out our view. And so things were going, can I tell you, the food was fantastic. Like, this is why I'm wearing the untucked shirt like right now, because I put on, all I did was eat bread and cheese. I did drink an awful lot of red pop soda over there, you know, and so we did that, and so it was unbelievable. I did the museum things over there, the Musée d'Orsay and the Louvre, and so we went to these places, but can I just be real with you? I would much rather go see a movie or something like that. This is just your pastor, all right? Because I'm going in there and I'm trying to like it, trying to think it's cool. And so I'm going in there, and this is my like view of it. It's like naked painting, naked painting, naked painting, naked angel painting. And I'm like, all right, I get the theme here. Naked people. All right, let's go. Let's go eat some more things, okay? That was kind of it. And but so now I already threw my wife under the bus, so now I'm going to throw myself under the bus because the trip is winding down. And I realize we have an 8-hour trip on XL Airlines. Have you ever heard of that? That's my point, okay? XL Airlines. And so they cram us in here. And I'm just thinking about after 5 back surgeries, how am I going to sit in that seat for 8 hours? And then, and I know some of you guys, oh, poor pastor, I have to fly home from Paris. You know, I know, but just work with me, okay? And I'm starting to take on the weight of going back to the job, and I know I had a killer week coming up, and so I can start to feel anxiety building up till we get on the plane, and I'm on the way down to Paris, there was an empty seat between us. I was like, glory to God, like God's gift to me. And then, but going back home on the 8-hour trip, there was 400 seats, 2 in the entire plane were empty. My wife had sitting next to her some woman. She didn't speak English, which is not a problem, but what was the problem is she was doing really weird things, right? She got like the vomit bag out a couple times, and then another time she covered herself completely with the blanket like that. And we're like, do we report this or what's going on there, right? It was really strange. But next to me was Sebastian, the 1.5-year-old flying with his 3-year-old brother and their parents. And so Sebastian is blowing up the entire time. And I can feel, and now God designed a baby's cry to not be ignored, right? He did. That's God's design. In 8 hours of it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose my, until I realized that God had blessed me with Bose noise-canceling earphones. I put it on, and I proceeded to not listen to music, but Christmas carols for the next 2 hours, because I knew I had to lift my soul up, okay? And so that is a very real thing that happened. And so you know what happened? As I began to listen to the Christmas carols, joy came. And so that's what I want to talk to you is about joy. Let me define joy for you this morning. So joy is a very deep soul satisfaction, a deep soul satisfaction. And I need to contrast that with happiness, because you can hear the word happenings from the word happiness. And so it's happiness comes because of our surroundings and the things around us and can be very much out of our control. Can I just be real? We've all had that day where we're happy and suddenly happiness shatters in your hands. It's unbelievably fragile, but joy is steadfast. that it's an inner strength that'll help you to go through anything regardless of your circumstances. So we need to go to the joy book, and that's Philippians. It's only four chapters long, and yet you'll see some form of the word joy used 16 times by the Apostle Paul. And so we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3. And so, Lord, give us grace this morning in your name. Amen. And so let's start reading Philippians 3, verses 10 through 14. And Paul says this. He says, I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. Isn't that a weird thing to say? Lord, I want to know what it's like to suffer like you and with you. He says, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect. Can I just submit to you, if the Apostle Paul said he's still working on it, he's not perfect yet, then that's pretty much a collective, that's most of us, okay, all of us. And so he says, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. And so here's what I want us to see here to begin with is Paul says this. He says that God's grabbed hold of you. And so if you know Jesus Christ this morning, that some point in your life, God Almighty grabbed a hold of your life. He grabbed a hold of your attention, and now he's beginning to not just grab a hold of you, but to conform you into the image of his son. And for the record, if you don't know Jesus this morning, I got news for you. The reason you're here is because God's beginning to grab your heart and grab your soul. And so, but now what we need to do is Paul says, now that Christ has grabbed hold of me, now I need to make a way to grab hold of him. And so it's a two-way thing. As God begins to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ, we need to reach out and partner with him in this transformation. And so sometimes we can have things in our life that we're hanging on to that prohibit us from grabbing on to him. And so these are joy killers. And so he references it by this, by some of us, you're hanging on to the past. That there's some past wound in your heart or some form of bitterness or something that you just refuse to let go of and your hands are full, that you can't hold on to Jesus. And the second joy killer is this, is some of us aren't living in the past, but you're living too far in the future and you're being crushed under the weight of what if or what if this or what if that, okay? And so, but there is a sweet spot of joy and that's being present. And we'll talk about that. So Paul says this, that we need to forget what's behind. Here's what my example would be of this. Probably about my fifth year playing pro hockey, we were playing in Hartford, and we built a home in Detroit, Michigan, because who wouldn't want to spend their summers in Detroit, Michigan? And so we built it on a little inland lake, and so we had our little quote-unquote dream house, but we got all the toys for the lake, right? We got the boat, we got the jet skis, and for whatever reason, when you get jet skis, you get a lot more friends, okay? And so we got the jet skis, and it was funny, the day we purchased them, the ice had just thawed off the lake, and my neighbor, who was about 20 years older than me, but can I just be real, ladies, I'm going to let you in this, boys are always boys, doesn't matter how old you are, and so we got these new toys, big boy toys. And so we put them in the water. I mean, the water is still just almost still frozen. We get it, and my wife's like, honey, you can't go out there on those jet skis. You'll get hypothermia, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, baby, we'll be fine. We're just going to take them for a little spin. What happens? We get out there, whoosh, we're spraying each other, kind of doing this, me and my neighbor, Norm. And so we get going, and then we start racing down the lake. And I try to spray him, and I flip the jet ski. And so I go down in the water, blah, 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 blah. I'm underneath. And as I'm coming up, all I see is the jet ski coming at me, and he hit me in the head, and I'm like, blah, 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 right down to the bottom. So a little concussion and go to the hospital, do that kind of thing. And so that was our jet ski. But what would we do for the jet skis is we would hook them up in the water. We'd put a cinder block on the front, cinder block in the back, and you just got to unlatch them, and then away you can go. And so our friends of our family came over. Their 12-year-old daughter's like, see ya, down to the jet skis. And so she's going to do her thing. She unhooks the front one and then starts trying to truck around the lake. And I can see the lake being dredged up in the back, right? And this thing's not going anywhere. She yells from the lake, "These jet skis stink." And I'm like, you undid the back cinder block, right? And she's like, what? Right? And so that's I can see a lot of people's life that you're dragging this garbage from years ago, and it's absolutely devastating your present moment. And so what God wants you to do is release those things. He says we're to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And so some of us, we need to forgive. You're going to have to forgive your spouse. You're going to have to forgive your parents. You got to let that stuff go. You know, I get it. I know it. I've been in those places where, okay, God, I've forgiven them. And then what happens? Just the right thing has to happen. Oh, I haven't forgot them. I haven't forgiven them. But do you guys remember when Peter asked Jesus, he says, Lord, how many times do we have to forgive? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. And sometimes the process of forgiveness can feel that way. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I know I did it, but I forgive them again. And I forgive them again until somehow, eventually, we get free of that thing. You know the word resentment? It means this, to feel it again. Resentment. And so some of us, we like to hang on to resentment because we feel like it's a warm blanket to our soul. But the reality is, it's a canker to your heart. And it's eating away. And so God wants you free of that. And so, and some of you, it's not forgiving others. You need to forgive yourself, okay? Some of you, you've done some things in your past, and you still are beating yourself up with it, and Jesus has forgotten it as far as the East is from the West. And so some of you, you need to just get over yourself, okay? And you need to start looking at the cross of Christ and know that Jesus has paid for every sin, past, present, and future. And so if the holy God of the universe has forgiven you, I think you can forgive you, all right? And so now some of us still may struggle with forgetting things. So Paul's going to help us out. He says, you know, the best way to forget things is to start straining towards what's ahead. That you start, and now listen, that word straining ahead, it doesn't mean looking off into the future. It means straining towards what's directly in front of you. And so I need to encourage you today, like, if you start projecting off into the future, you can get a lot of trouble. Nick and Brandy, here, I did some research. You know how much it is per child? I'm assuming you guys are going to have a family. $265,000 to get them from age 0 to 18. That ain't college, all right? So good luck with that. And if you start thinking about all that stuff, you're like, oh, my gosh, where am I going to get that kind of coin? And you can get crushed under that. But here's what anyone ever seen the movie Hitch? Hitch? So, man, I almost got an amen out of that. I haven't heard anything all morning. Amen. Good, Pastor. So if you guys remember the one scene in Hitch is Will Smith is trying to teach Kevin James kind of how to be smooth on the dance floor. Kevin James, I got this. I can dance. And he's like, let me just see that. And right, and Will Smith is watching him. He's like, you saw it, right? And Amy's like, do the Q-tip. And then you throw it away. And then we're making the fire, right? And then you got to roll the dough like this, right? And that's what you got until Will Smith just smacks him. He goes, uh-uh. He goes, this is where you live, right here, right? And so this is your move. And so I got to tell you guys, stay out of all that other garbage. Right here is where you live. See, the future is God's business, all right? It's not yours. And so we just are fully present now that we can enjoy and drink deeply from life. And so did you guys know that Moses, he was responsible for 2 to 3 million people in a desert. That it took 150 tons of food per day in order to feed them. Listen, you think you get overwhelmed like feeding your kid or something? How about 150 tons of food daily? And you know what God did? He gave them just enough for the day. And then the next day, he would give them just enough for that day. And so that's all we have is we depend on God now. Let's look at this. Point number two is this practicing joy. Practicing joy. That's going to be in Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so here you see that Paul says, there are some things we're going to need to practice. And Paul begins it by saying this. He says, let your gentleness be made known to all. That word, a better interpretation, is let your moderation, or the fact that you're not freaking out all the time, despite the fact your circumstances might be insane. He says, let your moderation be made known to all because, hey, the Lord's near. So this happened a few years ago. Some of you guys will remember this. I think about 4 years ago, there's a young man in my church in Manhattan. His name is Luca Manfi. And so the year before, he had tried out for MasterChef. Have you guys ever seen the show MasterChef? And he just about made it, but he got cut. But he went back the next year, and he called me up to the front after service. He's like, PA, he says, I made it on MasterChef. And so I was like, oh, that's really cute, man. You know, like I was just thinking that. I mean, that was in my head. I thought, oh, that'd be great. And so, but he gets on the show and he makes it to the TV show. And he's not doing very good. And so he keeps going, but he starts picking it up a little bit. And then as we're going, I'm like, man, Luca's doing really good. And he's getting all these Twitter followers and all this kind of stuff. And so he gets all the way to the grand finale. And Luca, so I don't know if you realize this, they shoot it 3 months in advance. So he's back home, and I'm watching him, you know, do this thing. And so he gets to the grand finale, and he invites me to this epic party in Manhattan. We're going to watch the grand finale in this lounge in New York City. You remember that, Pastor Shino? Oh, that's right. You weren't invited, right? and so we go to see MasterChef. And so MasterChef is on, and it's going through, and it's neck and neck with the finalists until finally they get up there, drum roll. And then the winner is Luca Manfi. Psh, confetti comes down. We're all freaking out in the place. And you know what? Everyone was just losing their mind except for Luca. He's like, yeah, I already knew. I knew I won. and so the reality is, I don't know if you ever read this book, but if you get to the end, here's the reality. We win. And so we don't need to freak out about all these different things. And though it may get bad or it may get dark, but in the end, we win. And so Jesus is like, hey, let your moderation be made known to all. Just chill, because God's got this, okay? And so here's some things we need to practice. Number one is this. He says prayer. You need to practice prayer. And so we'd already referenced that you're not designed to carry anxiety inside of you. So prayer is a means by which we can get stuff out of our soul and give it to God where it belongs. And so I don't know if you ever read kind of some of the Psalms. Like David, he prays some things. He vomits some things out on the Lord. It's like, oh my gosh, are you allowed to say that to God? Why have you forsaken me? I'm surely going to die and all this. I'm like, wow, but God seems to be okay with that. That why? Because he knows we're not designed to carry that stuff, but God Almighty, that he can handle it. And so we need to do that. Here's another reason why I think prayer is so important if we're going to live the joy-filled life that God wants. See, sometimes God will allow us to walk through things because in suffering, it knits our hearts with his. And that has little to do with God and everything to do with us. That there's those moments that we cling so close to him. So there was this, Pastor Shino and I were in D.C. this past week. We're at a Every Nation Northeast Pastors Conference. And Pastor Brett Fuller, he's the chaplain for the Washington Redskins, African-American guy, great church in Chantilly, Virginia. And he's done a great deal in our nation towards racial reconciliation, especially during this season in our nation. And so he was actually helping us pastors, particularly us white pastors, how we can relate to our African-American brothers and sisters. And so we were saying, like help us. And so he says, here's number one. He says, don't pretend like you know what they're going through. Hey, brother, I get you. I know what you're going through. No, you don't. You haven't had to live through the stuff. You've never lived as a black man or a black woman in our nation. And so don't pretend, but just seek to learn and to understand. And here's what he pointed out, something that I thought was so great. He says, and some of you African-American brothers could help me with this. So he says, if you go to a mall and one brother sees another brother in the mall, you know what they're going to do? They give them the nod. So and listen, if you're 30 and below, you'll give them you'll give them the nod up is what it is. But if you're older, you give them the nod down, all right? So I don't know, that's just the way it is. And so, but here's what it is. It has little to do with the color of their skin and everything to do with the fellowship of their suffering. That as a people, we've gone through something together and it's knit our hearts. Because he said, you go over to Africa, guys are doing that stuff. No, but here, absolutely. And here's what I say all that to say this, is that, you know, it says that Jesus suffered in every way, like you and like me. And when we go through stuff, we can come to him, and I assure you this, as Jesus is like, been there, done that. And so it's something, it knits us together with him. The other thing we need to practice is petition, and that's this, is that, do you know that God wants us to ask him for stuff? And so if you have kids, this should blow your mind, because like your kids could drive you crazy, right? Dad, 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 and like, you know, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? But God seems to like it. He says to ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And so, and for somebody that may be new to the faith, is God always answers prayer, but he just doesn't always answer it the way you like. And so he'll answer. Sometimes the answer is no. So Jesus is in the garden, and he's saying, if there's any way possible, let this puck pass from me, right? Sorry, hockey days. Cup pass from me. And so, but what's God's response? The Father, no. This is happening. But then there's sometimes it's just not yet. Do you remember the Israel is crying out to God for 400 years in slavery? And God's like, not yet, not yet, not yet, not yet. Moses shows up, now is time, okay? And so, and sometimes it's absolutely yes. I don't know if you remember that Peter's imprisoned and the disciples are in praying, crying out to God. Boom, cell doors open up, the guards are all knocked out, angel leads them out free. In fact, they go to the prayer service where they're praying for Peter, and Peter said, he's like, hey, it's me, it's Peter. And the people praying for Peter to be released don't believe that God answered their prayer. So this is who we are, guys. And so petition. And then lastly is this idea of praise. So he says, we pray, we petition, but we do it with thanksgiving. So I think it's important if you want to have joy that you got to have what I call a bountiful eye. And I'll say this until God kills me or I'm no longer your pastor, is that you got to train your eye to see all that's right in your life. Because do you guys remember Daniel in the Bible? He's in your Old Testament. He was captured as a young man. Many scholars think he was castrated. He was made a slave. In Nebuchadnezzar's household. And so there's numerous attempts on his life. He was sentenced to the lion's den. Do you know what Daniel did after he was sentenced to the lion's den? It says he went up to his room like he did every day prior to that, and he got down on his knees, and he gave thanks. And I hear that, and I'm like, for what, bro? What are you thankful for? But somehow Daniel was able to see all that was right and all that was good in his life. And I got news for you. He got up out of that lion's den, all right? Because the joy of the Lord, it is your strength. And so here's the last thing is this, is I want to get, Paul's going to give us the secret to joy. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 13, that Paul says this. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am need, for I have learned to be content wherever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so really a better interpretation is I can do everything in him who gives me strength. In fact, that idea of being in Jesus and Jesus in us, it's a mega theme of your New Testament. The authors use that 170 times. And so if you want to just boil down the Christian walk, is trying to cram my life to be in him and have him be inside of me. And as you do that, you'll be transformed into his image, and you'll be able to walk through any difficulty that you experience in your life. And so, here's what will happen. So I've been married for 27 years, and I've yet to figure out how to make my bread properly. So my wife is a bed maker. I still don't understand that. Like, you're just going to get back in it. But she wins on that one. And so every now and then I'll try and express my love to her by making the bed. Fellas, do you know what this is with women and pillows? Because we have 8,000 pillows on our bed. And so, and for whatever reason, there's this configuration that you need to get to that I can never seem to do it right. So I'll try and do it, and then she'll come in like, swing and a miss, babe. And she'll like, and do all that kind of stuff. And I find that in my own life, as I try to manipulate everything around me, it gets exhausting, and then it's never quite right anyways. And so I got good news for you. Maybe what we can do is get right on the inside and believe whatever come may way, that we're going to be strong enough and we're going to have this soul, this deep joy in our soul that's going to help us to walk through any and everything. And so he says he's given us the secret. He's given us the secret. And so the secret is this, is to get Christ in me. So I'll end with this last story. So there's this guy, George Mueller. He's an old evangelist over in England. And so George Mueller, what he did is he planted orphanages throughout England. But he did it like this. He says, I'm going to plant orphanages all by faith. I'm not going to ask anybody but Almighty God that I would supply all my needs and all these children's needs. And so do you feel the weight of that? Like just being responsible for all these little babies and all this kind of stuff, and yet your one hope is God Almighty. And here's what was the secret to him not losing his mind or being the crushed under the weight of that. He says, I learned this very early, is I know the first thing that I need to do before I start my day is I need to make my soul happy in God. Or in other words, if I could say it a different way, if I can get in him, then I know I can take on all the world has for me. So let me pray for us, and then I'm going to bring up Marge to do our announcements, our tithes and offerings. So Father, thank you this morning. God, thank you for all you're doing, Lord, in us and through us as a people. And Jesus, I just want to pray and just ask us just to take a moment, and maybe each and every one of you this morning, that you can just figure out, hey, what do you need to do that you might walk in fullness of joy? Like, what are the things, like, are you the one that you need to forget some stuff and you need to start living in the present? Or maybe are you the person that man, you really got to start practicing the joy in your life through prayer, through petition, through thanksgiving? And so, or lastly is this, how are you at making your soul happy in God? Listen, if you're stressed out all the time, I would submit to you, you need to start spending more time getting your soul right with God that you might be able to walk through everything. So God, give us grace. Meet us where we're at. We thank you. We love you.